to listeners and viewers, and welcome to another episode of Prima Nerd Podcast. My name is Nisa, and I am joined, as always, by my adventurous co-host and cousin, Bella.
Hello, everybody.
So in today's episode, we are going to be talking about The Mandalorian. Well, season one, excuse me, of The Mandalorian, which is Star Wars' first live action series.
Yeah. This TV show came out in 2019, the first season, the second in the end of 2020. Here in Brazil, Disney Plus just arrived in the end of the year in November. So we had access to both seasons on the same time, and everybody's freaking out about this because it's amazing. And this TV show was an idea from John Favreau, George Lucas, and Dave Filoni. Filoni. There is a L there.
Yeah.
Dave Filoni. So they start to create the characters and the story, and they pick up the time after 5 years after The Last Jedi for this story. So we have environment that is not really cool because the Empire was defeated, but not.
And
so
the Empire is defeated. The movie gives off the impression, and they lived happily ever after and wandered off into the sunset. Not so much.
No.
So this is, The Mandalorian follows the story of the Mandalorian, who is a bounty hunter, basically working in a lawless New Republic. That's basically where our story starts.
Yeah. So and it's very Western.
Yeah.
And the story, the feeling, you know, like in the air.
Yeah.
Western.
But that's actually on purpose. It's Western and samurai, which is what was the actual influence for this, but it also was the influence for the original Star Wars. So they're continuing with that Western samurai feel. I mean, you can also hear it in the music too. Like the Mandalorian theme sounds very much like a Western.
Yeah. And they have some duels during the TV show as well. So get this feeling like he's a bounty hunter and there is sometimes that there is a duel, like Western duel.
It's like also
have the very, very dry scenarios.
Yeah. But also like our introduction to the Mandalorian, he walks into a bar, no one wants to talk to him, he gets a drink, and then a bar fight ensues and he captures his bounty. But all of that is very much what you expect from Western. So that was, I thought that it's a great way of the introduction to the character. And of course, the line that he says, I can take you in more, I can take you in cold. I have a friend, and anyone basically who like most people, developed a crush on Pedro Pascal, who plays the Mandalorian, solely on his voice, because you cannot see his face. It's basically, I loved it. I had a friend of mine who was talking, she goes, when he says the line, I can take you in warm, or I can take you in hot, her reaction was, you can take me any way you want. And I'm like, yeah, sounds about right. Sounds about right.
Pretty precise.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I get it. He has an amazing voice, so I get it. I get falling in love with just the voice, not the actor, the voice. Yeah. So what did you think of the show? Because you got to, because you like me, I didn't watch it when it first came out, mainly because I was like, I don't want to wait a year for the new episode. And then finally I couldn't resist and I binge watched seasons one and two. But which is great. And then you realize you have to wait until 2022 for the new season. It's like, crap.
Yeah.
I hate this waiting. I binge watched it in a week. That's how much I liked it. I was like, psh, and.
Yeah, me too. I love the show. I love the show. And I think this show, it's better than some movies from Star Wars we have out there. It's much, much better. It's one of the best stories of Star Wars, I think.
I agree with you.
The characters, they are very charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
So we like them. We like to...
we connect with them. We want...
Yes, exactly. This is the word I was searching.
Yeah, we connect with them. Yeah. We sympathize with them. We're rooting for them. We want to see where they're going to go. So it's very well done, especially with the character that you don't see his face. Yet are, like, you feel what he's feeling.
There is a huge fly here. Okay, it went away.
For those of you who aren't aware... We also record so you can see us. So for those of you who are very confused, out of nowhere, there flew a fly into Bela's room. So, and...
It was a giant fly in my room.
I mean, it's better than it being a spider, but it's still funny.
Okay. Let's continue.
Disaster and hilarity. This is what I equate that to. Us doing this could lead to disaster and clarity. Let's go. So
I was about to say that it's easy to like one specific character. There is Baby Yoda.
Oh my god. No, who doesn't like Baby Yoda? He's the
exactly.
I want a Baby Yoda to put, if for those of you who can't see, right behind me where I sit, there's a little place that'd be perfect to put a Baby Yoda. But
in the future,
I don't know. I don't know if I can justify buying one because I feel like I'm past the age of getting toys to then not have any, just not to have a place to put them. You know, like I'm not gonna play with it. I'm not gonna. And so I'm like, can I justify?
It's for the scenario.
Yeah, it's for the background.
It's better. I think it's better a Baby Yoda than a Kylo Ren here. For the ones that is just
hearing,
yeah, I have a little head of
helmet.
Kylo Ren.
It's helmet, right? It's his helmet.
His helmet.
Let's be specific. Not his head. The helmet that he wears. Let's be slightly more specific. But just saying. Let's just say that's the helmet, because the head sounds a little weird.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like
I don't like him, so it can be the head.
Sure.
Okay.
So what I wanted to say about what I loved about this show, what I think makes this show work, is the fact that they did something different. I think I don't think I've ever heard of any other show doing this. I could be wrong, but all the directors who directed, again, I'm just going to talk about the first season. Directed the first season, worked together. They were involved in working with one another in each other's episodes. Like, yes, they were the lead of their respective episodes, but they worked with other, they worked everyone else. Like there, if you watch Disney Gallery, which talks about like the behind the scenes of Mandalorian, they have a technology, they have one episode about technology, directors, cast, legacy, so on and so forth. And one of them, they have a whole episode where they talk to the directors who directed the first season, and they all work together. So the first season who directed was Dave Filoni, Bryce Dallas Howard, Deborah Cho, I'm sorry, I can't pronounce words today or speak, Taika Waititi, who you would know as the director of Thor Ragnarok, and also he played... I forgot his name. IG-11. The Rock creature. No, he also played IG-11, but he also played
The Rock.
The Rock creature in a
court. In Ragnarok. I love this guy.
Me too.
Ragnarok.
And then also Rick Shimajuma. I can't pronounce names. I apologize for pronouncing it incorrectly because I already know that I did. But they each directed an episode. And George Lucas and John Favreau wrote all of the episodes. They had other people help them write other ones, but they were involved in every single episode written for the show. And Rick Famuyiwa wrote two episodes. Dave Filoni wrote two episodes, directed two episodes. Rick directed two episodes and wrote one. And Bryce Dallas Howard, who not only is she a well-known actress because she was in Jurassic World, her father's also a well-known director who has been friends with George Lucas. So she's been around Star Wars her whole entire life. So yeah. Well,
it's good this because you have the
continuity. You're right.
Yeah. Yes. This can you say it again?
Continuity. Yeah. There you go.
It's better because sometimes one director comes out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And kind of doesn't know exactly what is going on, and yeah. It's just a random episode. So
yeah,
I think it's better this way.
No, I agree with you. I think it's a great thing, and they loved it too. They said it was like director boot camp. They all came. They met up before they started filming the show. They worked together. They got to meet, and you can see them like they're in the, like I said, in the gallery episode. You can see them like interacting with one another while they're filming their own episodes. That they have someone to talk to and bounce ideas off of. And another thing that I thought was very interesting and very important was that anyone who works on this,
it's kind of a long, long, long movie.
Yeah, it is exactly. It's a long movie, almost 8 hours, almost, because some episodes don't fully reach an hour. So. What was I saying? I lost my train of thought. Yeah, that happened. That's normal. I was going to say, it's another thing too. No, it's not that. I completely got lost track of where I was. What I was going to say is that another thing that I thought was very important was that everyone who worked on this show had to be a fan of Star Wars. And especially yes. as the directors, yeah. I thought that that was, I think, what makes this show work. You have the composer, Ludwig Göransson, who John Favreau was introduced to because of Ryan Coolidge, who is the director of Black Panther. And he's the one who created the music, but he's a huge fan of Star Wars, a huge fan of, what's his name? Of John Williams, wow. Ooh, that was a terrible thing to blank on. You can see that their influence, and also George Lucas was also involved, the creator of this world. Dave Filoni mm-hmm. is the creator.
It's very important.
Yeah, and Dave Filoni is a creator of Clone Wars, which was a cartoon that tells the story of between episode 2 and episode 3. So Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith. He wrote in the TV show Clone Wars takes place in between that. So, you know, and then when they asked Pedro Pascal if he was a fan of Star Wars, he goes, I had no choice. I was born in 1975. I have no choice. Of course, I'm a fan of Star Wars. But I think that makes a huge difference. The writers are fans of Star Wars, uh-huh. the directors, the cast. So that way you don't have this moment where I've heard actors in interviews talk about where a writer comes in and writes something and that doesn't sound like the character, and the actor kind of feels like, well, I don't mm-hmm. really think that this works, or they want to change it, or it doesn't make sense, or someone comes in to direct and the actors are like, no. We know these characters.
Yeah.
You just, yeah. You've seen interviews with that.
Yeah, I think it's because they are more careful and they care about what is going, like what is going on, what they are doing, because they are personally involved.
Invested, yeah. It means something.
Invested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the expression.
Yeah, I think it's a huge difference. Oh, maybe no. If all the directors of Harry Potter would be a fan, probably would be better as well.
Yeah, can you give me 1 second? Hold on. I have to check. I have to fix something. Sorry about that. Technical difficulty. My computer unplugged itself and the color changed. It got very dim and very dark. Sorry. The funds of recording.
Yeah. It's almost how to see us in live.
Live, yeah, we do a live show. Oh, that'd be funny. You'd see how many times I start and how many times it takes, how long it takes me just to get out the first phrase, the intro of the episode.
Whew. We should do this sometime.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm going to say is that I agree with you on the Harry Potter thing. It was funny that you mentioned Harry Potter because we just had a discussion about Harry Potter and how much we would love to do an episode one day. We're not going to get into what we talked about because it's not about Harry Potter, but if you want us to do a Harry Potter episode, let us know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Because we love Harry Potter as well.
I think for people, those of you can't see, the tattoo on my wrist says it all. But that's not the reason why I have it.
So, Nisa, yes. I don't think I can explain this in English. Properly. So can you explain about the Mandalorian people?
Oh, right. So as far as I know, mind you, I'm not a Star Wars expert. I have not read the graphic novels. I have not played the video games. But from what I understand, from my knowledge of watching Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels and this show, is that the Mandalorians, they were an ancient race that then founded a planet called Mandalore. And they, they're a race of warriors and they're a race of warriors. And there is, there is a faction. What? You're like, you're about to say something.
Oh, I had a thought that it's like Sparta in Greece.
Kind of, yeah. That's actually a great, that's exactly kind of what they were. It was a whole entire planet of warriors. They have a code, they have all these different clans of people who want to rule Mandalore. And in Clone Wars, you get a little bit more of a taste of what that is. But in Clone Wars, you see that the Mandalorians take off their helmet. You see that also in Star Wars Rebels. So what we see in the Mandalorian is a group of Mandalorians who want to go back to an ancient way of thinking, which is that they never take off their helmet. And that's the one, and he's a foundling. So he was not born of a Mandalorian or in Mandalore, but he was taken in by a Mandalorian, as you see in the first episode, which is why I love that scene where you hear she's making something for him, the armorer, right? And you hear the banging of the hammer, and you see that he travels back in time to when he was, to the tragedy that happened in his life to make him become a Mandalorian.
A child,
and why he thinks the fact that he needs support foundlings so important to him, because he was a foundling. Again, that shows the importance of music, because I don't think if they had put the music, you wouldn't have known how emotional that is for him. Right, without the flashbacks, without the music, that shows you again.
Yeah.
My favorite part of watching that scene is I'm like, I know that voice. Why do I know that voice? So the actress who plays Armor is Emily Swallow, and she plays the Darkness, or Amara, in Supernatural. And I recognize her voice. So I'm like, I know you. And that was fun.
Yeah, but in the show, we have a lot of known faces. We have not faces, because Pedro Pascal is not, it's helmet, but you know what I mean. People.
Known actors. These are known actors who are like, no, we don't see them physically. Yeah. We just hear their voices. Yes. There's a few of them.
Yeah, but we have Pedro Pascal that was on Game of Thrones.
A show probably no one's ever heard of.
Very, very ugly.
Oh, one of the most gruesome deaths. And that's saying ugly, a lot.
Death. Yeah. We have Jon Favreau that was happy. We have in Iron Man. We have
Was happy was a little bit weird. Like, you might want a happy Hogan.
We have Mulan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mulan, Mena Wen, or also Melinda May from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah. So,
there's a lot of... Yeah, Taika Waititi.
That is... we have Giancarlo Esposito as well.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking Bad and other shows.
Gina Carano from Haywire, and also before she became an actress, she was an MMA fighter. We have Carl Weathers, who is a veteran actor. I forgot what I personally, the thing that comes to mind that I know him from is from an episode of Psych, the TV show Psych, which is probably not anywhere near what he's famous for. Just saying. Yeah. He was in Rocky.
So it's a very, very good, cast.
Amazing cast. It was very well casted, very well directed, very well written. But I think, again, you have someone like Jon Favreau leading it. It's going to be gold. I mean, we wouldn't have Marvel if he hadn't done Iron Man.
Yeah, it's true. This is very true. In this show, we have a new technology to replace the chroma key, the green screen.
Yeah.
Behind the characters.
Yeah, there is new technology.
I forgot the name of the technology.
Volume. They called it the volume, at least saw. What I loved about it is that it was
packed screens.
Yeah. Yeah. LED screens. We don't, okay, now that this is where it gets interesting for you. For you, you pronounce it LED. We pronounce it LED, like we pronounce the letters.
We read the
word
like a word, like,
yeah, and we say LED. And it's also video game technology. It was technology that George Lucas was wanting to start using in the prequels. It was actually that he started using in the prequels, because if you see the prequels, there are some, like, it was half of it in green screen, half of it practical and mixture, and now they've expanded it to be even more that, yet they still kept the practical elements, like Baby Yoda is actual puppet, Krill is also the one who said the great line of I have spoken, was the his body was played by an actress called Missy Rosas. I'm gonna pronounce that wrong, I'm so sorry. Names today and me are not friends. And she had half of it was prosthetics and half of it was mechanical, right? So you had someone moving the mouth and the lips, but she was also inside a prosthetic and also doing the body, creating the body for Krill. And then you, of course, have Baby Yoda, who has like three people working the ears, the eyes and the mouth and the head. The body, on the other hand.
The voice of Krill was... done by Nick Nolte. Yeah, this. I have a complaint about Baby Yoda, because body. They took a, like, yeah, the body, because his face is very cute and real and realistic, because he blinks and has expressions and everything, but his body is
stiff.
Too much a puppet. Yeah, it's, I don't like it.
For those of you who don't understand why that's funny, I decided what it was a good idea to show her an interview with Chris Evans saying I don't like it, and now that happens.
I don't like it.
But I don't like it either. I agree with you there. But the hands are cute too. The hands are cute. The face is cute.
Yeah, the hands are.
There's a really cute interview where they're talking. I think someone asked him what it was like. Pedro Pascal. They asked him what it was like to work with Baby Yoda, and he says, basically, the point of the interview was that he said that he was like one of the best scene partners, and that there was a moment. I don't know if this. I don't think the scene got put into the show because I don't remember seeing it. But there's a moment where the baby's getting too close to a fire, and he turns to it and he says, "Don't get too close," and the doll. looks up at him and then kind of starts moving back, and the joke is, there I am improvising with Baby Yoda, and I'm like, I would have died if I had saw that, because I love Dante Dolezal. so cute.
He's so cute.
I most of the time if he's in a scene, I'm like, where's Viviana, what is he doing? Like, I'm more curious about, it's really what they say. Don't work with animal or children or a puppet in this case, because your focus goes completely to the adorable little creature. Your focus is 100% on him.
Yeah, it's true. Totally true. I forgot.
I was going to ask a question. What was your favorite episode? While you try to remember what you wanted to say,
The second one, because the child. I don't know the name, the child, the little creatures that I don't know, that I don't Jawa. Remember the name.
Jawa.
Yeah, this. I like, because I like Quill. I like the way they show Mandalorian, because he's a badass, but you see him being beaten by the little creatures.
Oh my god, once he gets on top of the sand crawler, and then they zap him and I laughed so hard.
Yeah, and I love this, because he is a badass, but he's not
perfect.
Imbatível.
Indestructible?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, this.
Yeah.
And Baby Yoda is very, very cute. And is this the first time you see him using his power? So we understand perfectly
Jedi.
Why he's important. Yeah, because he's a Jedi.
He's a Force wielder.
Sometime in the future. Yeah. And I love the creatures. And this is one of my favorites. And the other one is the last one.
Chapter 8.
It's epic.
Redemption, I think, is the episode.
It's epic, and the first scene is so perfect. The first scene.
It's funny.
It's the best scene of all. It's the two stormtroopers, and they make fun of themselves.
Yeah.
Like
they can't
the jokes
shoot.
That we fans do in the internet, and they put this thing on them, and they are talking, and they are so funny. They making fun about they can hit
a can. Yeah, it was great.
It's amazing.
I had two thoughts. I forgot both. I remembered one of them, forgot the other. All right, so episode 2, where we get to see, and the Mandalorian has to ride the Blurg and he keeps falling off of it. Mm-hmm. Made me think of an interview with Pedro Pascal where he, for Kingsman, The Golden Circle, where he talked about how he had to basically, do those, what is it called? The thing where you go, I forgot the name of it. Oh my God. It's in a Western bar where you sit on this mechanical bull. Thank you. He had to ride a mechanical bull. He was like supposed to be trapped, tied to a mechanical bull and just like flailing around behind in the background of a scene, and they cut it. So he spent months doing this to then for it to be cut. So when I see him trying to ride the Blurg, it just, because I'm thinking in my head, obviously the Blurg, when it was designed, it was a practical, most likely a thing like a mechanical bull that moves back and forth. So then they didn't create, then put the animal in it in for final product. I just keep thinking to myself, man, there's so many things in his career that kind of foreshadow what's going to happen later. Like him in Kingsman with the lasso. Right. And the fact that he died a gruesome death, and he's famous for dying throughout most of the things he's done. A lot of it is head injuries, so I'm really happy that he learned to put a helmet on. So he finally learned the lesson of the importance of a helmet. That, and don't talk so much when you're winning. Just go for the kill. Don't float. Don't get cocky. Just and end it. So I love that. And then the other thing I was going to say is that I saw an interview with both Adam Pauly and Jason Sudeikis, who played the stormtroopers, right? And Adam Pauly said that he got a lot of everyone, of course, they both got a lot of grief for playing those stormtroopers, because they punch Baby Yoda. And I love how Adam Paula's story is that he, when he first did it, he did it too hard. And like people, there all these like 30 crewmen like, whoa, 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 don't. And then Jon Favreau came up, put his arm around him and said, you don't want to do that. This is very expensive. Don't do that again. And then he, and also he wanted to make it very clear. It was written in the script. I did not improvise punching him. It was written in the script. Yeah. And then,
because it's like limits. You can't punch Baby Yoda. Limits. Oh. You have to have limits here.
And then Jason Sudeikis said that someone came up to him and said, oh, you're trending on Twitter. He doesn't have Twitter. He doesn't have any of that. So he's like, okay, cool. Because this had been months after he stopped filming. He didn't remember that he filmed it. He goes, okay, cool. Why am I trending on Twitter? To find out that people are basically are appalled and like wanting to cancel them because he punched Baby Yoda. He's like, we didn't do this. We didn't improvise it. This was written in the script.
He was just doing his job.
Don't kill the messenger, basically.
Don't kill the messenger.
Or the actor. But, you know, it's like, it wasn't me. Kind of reminded, I just thought that was really funny. He's like, no, it's just not I. And they're both like wanted to make it very clear. We didn't improvise. It was not our choice. We were told to do this.
It's better.
Yeah.
To make this clear.
Yeah, that's thought that was important distinction to make.
So, spoilers now?
Yeah, sure, yes. So now we're going to do a spoiler section. I don't know why. I think I almost started trying to do an accent there. I don't know what accent that was or where I was going with that. Okay, anyway. So if you want to take a, if you want to continue listening, we're going to talk about spoilers. So if you haven't seen the show, we'd like to say thank you for listening to this episode. Please follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Prima Nerd Podcast. If you're watching, the description, all of this is in the description below, be it podcast or YouTube. We have in the description, we have all of this. Click subscribe, hit the bell so that way you can see notifications. And
like,
please like, comment, let us know what you think. Share this podcast with others, and hope to see you in the next episode where we're going to be talking about season two of The Mandalorian.
Yes.
Now spoilers.
Now spoilers. Well, the last episode. No, not the last. I think it was on the seventh. I don't know. I was thinking about the Darksaber.
So I think it's the end of the seventh. I think it's the end of the seventh. Because the lava tunnel is the seventh, right?
Yeah. I think so. So, I was thinking, how they would do the Darksaber, like, for fans. To sell like this, like the sell,
lightsaber, like the lightsabers. Yeah, I said that right.
The order, yeah, the lightsaber, yeah.
What I was
thinking about this morning.
That's actually a good question.
Because you said that you want to buy one.
Oh yeah,
to put
I had
on
for some reason a few years back. I had this idea that if I ever had my own place to live, I would want to have a lightsaber crossed with Jon Snow's sword, and then. Recently, I'm like, no, it'd be kind of cool to have lightsaber and the darksaber. It'd be kind of, because, you know, it's in the same world, but it's also like they're two different. They fit. They're both from the same world, and I don't know why that thought came to me. But what I was gonna say about the darksaber is that the first time I saw it, because again, it could have been shown somewhere else, was in Clone Wars, and it was wielded by the leader of the Mandalorian.
Yeah, Clone Wars
it was wielded by a Mandalorian. Who was the leader of called Pre Vizsla, who is voiced by none other than Jon Favreau, which is where I think him and Dave Filoni met. And he said that if you ever want to work together, basically, I think that's where their friendship began and where probably launched the idea mm-hmm. that they could work together, one day we'll be working together again. So I thought that was pretty cool. But yeah, you're right. How would they create the dark saber? Because the difference between the lightsaber and a saber is that the saber actually looks like a sword, just light.
Uh-huh.
So that'd be kind of cool to see what they're going to do with it. If also, I think also is lighting it darkly, is in a dark light, is a lot different than lighting it, like, just putting a color.
I have no idea, but I'm curious about
that. I agree with you. That'd be really cool to see.
Yeah.
It also doesn't make a noise. I realize. Doesn't have the
wong. I think, yeah, it's not the lighter burst sound.
No, it's not.
It's different. And in this last episode, we see the face.
We see Mando's face. And also learn his name, Jyn Darin.
Yeah, Jyn Darin. Yes, but I like this scene because it's not just, I will take off my
helmet. Yeah, it's earned.
There is a reason that is a good reason. And I like the way he doesn't want to take off the helmet.
Yeah. It was something that I was curious.
And then the droid convinced him.
Yeah. Because I love the fact he goes, no living thing can see my face, and the droid, right before the droid says it, I'm like, but he's not a living thing. And then ta-da.
Yeah, I thought he's a robot.
It's a droid.
Come on.
Like, you're fine. But it was a nice way of finding a loophole in the fact that we get to finally see the face of the character without it being like compromising or being that weird thing where they're kind of, I think the expression is they want to jump the shark or they want to try to create a random reason just so that we can see his face, because you created the character mm-hmm. with the idea that you're not going to see his face. Like that was innately in the story. So
I
thought that was really good.
Yeah, it was well written.
Yeah. Good. Yeah, also, by the way,
on the story.
Oh, by the way, I just remembered this right now. Yeah. You know that scene where he gets blown back and then Cara Dune picks him up and drags him into the house when they're outside.
Yeah,
that actually was Gina Carano picking him up and carrying him into the house. That's her. That's literally her. That's not a stunt double. That's not. It's her doing that. Yeah, she's a badass.
Wow.
Just saying that was her.
Yeah.
That was full on her.
Yeah.
She's very, very strong.
Go power.
I think that's when they realized just how strong she was when she like, and she picks him up with like ease too. She's like, whoop, and drags him back. I'm like, dang. I have difficulty lifting 50 pounds.
Strong woman in this show.
Oh yeah. So many of them. You have Fennec Shand played by Ming-Na Wen. I'm sorry, I'm going to pronounce that wrong incorrectly. We have, and then there's other ones too, but I think I'm going to leave that.
I think the second
season. Yeah, there's more. Yeah, there's a lot more women coming in.
Yeah. What else? To spoiler.
I think people. That's it. Those are the big ones. That's the spoilers, right?
Like, oh. You told me about the 500.
Oh, right. That's region. What it is. Okay. So there, another big spoiler is that in the last scene, right before we see their face, right before Baby Yoda blocks the fire, right? You have, this scene of like Moff Gideon and all these stormtroopers. And the interesting thing about that is that when they were filming that, they had like 30 extras on set and it didn't look good. It wasn't enough people. It just didn't fill out the space to make it look like, oh my God, they're in trouble. There's tons of stormtroopers. So in the discussion, they ended up, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni, because Dave Filoni was able to get in contact with these people, they contacted a group called the 501st Legion, which I think I'm pronouncing this correctly, which is a international fan-based organization that that go that that work for Star Wars, do Star Wars events. Like they go to hospitals, they do charity events, they go to premieres, and these are all fans. They create their own stormtrooper armor. Like, these are cosplayers. Like, they created this. Like, this is their actual work that they put into it. And one of them said that basically they're bad guys doing good, because they're stormtroopers doing all these great things, like hospital visits, yeah, charity events. And so when they were asked to come in, like, this was all last minute, they were coming in, but they had no idea what they were coming in for. So right before they showed up on set, they're showing up on set, they have no idea what they're going to do. But before they turn the corner to get onto the set, where they're going to realize that they are part of a Star Wars project, they allowed him to have a moment. So that way they can actually, like, see their costumes that they're going to be in Star Wars. Because that's something that's never happened before. Like, this fan base has never been able to do that before. And you can watch this in a Star Wars gallery again, like that. They have a whole episode about it, and it is beautiful to see how much it means to them to show up. And you have, like, there's like, what's his name, Esposito? What was his last first name?
Giancarlo.
Giancarlo. First, I blanked on his name for a second. Like, you see him talking to the cast. You see them saying, "Oh my God, it's fantastic!" And you see them taking pictures, and they're being interviewed for this. Like, you get to hear what they think about the fact that they're now in Star Wars, and that to me was just amazing.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's great. I just thought that was beautiful.
Yeah. Imagine you being a fan and
getting and to be in Star Wars
and the show. Yeah. It's
fantastic. But the other thing I just wanted to say. Fantastic. It's not a spoiler, but I just want to make this comment, because we're talking about, like, we mentioned about, like, not knowing, not seeing the voices, not seeing the characters, but I do have this quick comment to make. So there's an interview where Pedro Pascal is talking about how he feels bad for parents introducing their kids to him. And he's like, well, all these parents are super excited. They're going to introduce their kids to Mandalorian. The kids look at him and they're like, who the hell is this guy? He's not, he doesn't have a helmet on. He's not holding Baby Yoda. And according to him, he's like, and I can't do the voice because to him, it kind of sounds like a bedroom voice, which is highly inappropriate. But my reaction to it is, yes, I agree with you. A bedroom voice is not an appropriate thing to talk to a kid in. But I don't understand how that's a bedroom voice, simply because I've watched Narcos. I've watched Game of Thrones. I've watched interviews with you. I've seen Kingsman. You do that voice in scenes. I mean, if you think, oh, Game of Thrones, Oberon Martell is most of the time in a brothel. Yeah, that makes sense. He would do a bedroom voice. No. I'm talking about scenes where you're talking to Tywin or Tyrion Lannister, or you're talking to Cersei, who you're not hitting on. Like, and then, of course, in Narcos, he's talking to a bad guy. He's giving, like, an explanation to a police officer. I'm like, you use that voice when you're not seducing anyone. It's just your voice, dude.
It's only on his mind.
Yeah.
I think it's only on his mind, this problem, really.
I mean, I think what he's not understanding is that his voice in and of itself, I feel so embarrassed saying this, but is sexy. I mean, like, that's the point.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. If I haven't made it clear, I kind of have a tiny crush on Pedro Pascal. And the only reason why I can mention this is because the chances of him actually hearing this are, like, zero. So I feel safe in admitting major crush.
I will cross my fingers.
Why? Why do you want me to embarrass myself?
I don't want you to embarrass yourself. I just want us to be famous. Okay?
Oh, yeah, there's that. You never know. But I mean, it's like, I always think of, I don't want him to know that I'm a crush on him, because I mean, the rest of the world, most people do, but it's embarrassing to say it out loud. So it's recorded. It's going to be out on the internet for people to know that I have a major crush on Pedro Pascal. He's perfect. Anyway. The only other thing I wanted to say is that if you go to Disney World Galaxy's Edge, the X-Wing you see there was used as the cockpit for all the X-Wings in The Mandalorian. And there is a director cameo of Dave Filoni, Deborah Cho, and Rick in episode six, The Prisoner. So just wanted to put that out there. And you can see them, and they're dressed as the New Republic soldiers or whenever I got there flying in the last, it's like the last scene in the show. And all that dialogue was kind of made up, and like John Favreau was kind of guiding them on how to say it. You can hear more about it when you watch the gallery, them talking about that scene, because it's really funny because they had no idea what they were doing. But yeah. And also Mark Hamill did the voice of a droid. So this is the end.
This is big.
Oh yeah, he was in the Mos Eisley Cantina, which is from episode four. The bar that Luke and Obi-Wan Kenobi or Ben Kenobi walk into that didn't allow droids. You now see it in The Mandalorian, and the droid is a bartender, and that is voiced by none other than Mark Hamill, aka Luke Skywalker. Thought that was cool. Yeah. So yeah. That concludes our End
our episode.
Our Mandalorian.
So, the next episode will be about the second season. So, stay with us to see more about Mandalorian.
Yeah. And of course, again, follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Instagram and Facebook at Primo Nerd Podcast. You can also, please, if you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe, click on the bell. Let us know what you think. Comment, share with others who might be interested in our podcast. And we hope to see you next week. Bye.
Yes. Bye.